So we are continuing our journey of what is unpopular, and we're going to turn our attention to truth. Over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Ryan has been bridging the gap between a man and a woman and shared how important it is that we recognize that calling that we have to fulfill our roles in Christ. And we're going to continue that focus this morning on how to live in a world that is increasingly looking for truth by being anchored by the promises of the world. And so the title this morning is The Blueprint of Truth. And so if you would pray with me as we get ready to go into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We know, Lord, that the enemy is at work to keep us bound to fear, doubt, bound in defeat. And we humbly, Lord, ask today that you would come and remind us of your Word and of your truth. Help us to believe, Lord, today about those truths rather than listening to the lies of the enemy. Help us, Lord, to be able to walk in grace and to walk in the freedom that it affords. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in this pulpit this morning. I pray especially for Pastor Ryan as he's away that you'd continue to guide him and lift him up and encourage him as well. Lord Jesus, I pray that we'll be strengthened today. I pray that we'll be encouraged today, for you are a great and mighty God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Go ahead and open up your Bible, turn on your Central app, whatever other resources that you may be using, get the markers out, all of those things. We'll be looking, and our first text is found in Matthew 16:18. We'll be reading that here in a little bit. But do you remember the scene, for those of you that are movie buffs, from A Few Good Men when Jack Nicholson told Tom Cruise, "You can't handle the truth"? How many of you guys remember that? Was that pretty good? Can I go ahead and start right now? You can't handle the truth. And that's a good description of the society that we live in today, where it's common to hear statements like, "I have my truth and you have your truth and whatever works for you is true and whatever works for me is true." The problem with that is that this is your truth may not be the truth. And that's not just the truth, but that is the truth. Amen? Man, I love this section right here. You guys are quick. I told the first service, I said, sometimes I'll tell a joke. If I get one drum roll, I mean, I'm hot. I'm good. You know, some of you get 10. I'm not very funny. So when I get one laugh, I'm excited. But simply because we insist on something that's true for me does not necessarily make it true. I like the wit and wisdom of Winston Churchill when he said, "Truth is incontrovertible. Panic may resent it. Ignorance may deride it. Malice may distort it. But there it is." Churchill is saying that the truth is a stubborn thing, that people won't always appreciate the truth. Some will attack it with malice in their hearts and in their minds. Some will deride it because of their lack of understanding, but still the truth remains. It may be unwanted, unappreciated, unwelcome, but it just won't go away. And so this morning in your notes, the first point that we're going to be talking about is the foundation. The foundation of our faith, the foundation of our truth. It may be unpopular when we talk about the truth of God and the truth of God's Word, but it's so important that we begin to understand that God has a place for His truth. That's why He's given us His Word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Back in 2001, the World Trade Center got hit by planes, and of course we know the story and the graphics behind that. And they rebuilt it, named it the One World Trade Center. It's 1,776 feet tall. It has 150 feet of foundational support. There are five basement rooms below the ground. There are pillars that are driven 80 feet into bedrock. And the reason all that takes place is because for every blueprint takes into account the soil, the weight, the height, to make sure that the foundation can hold all of the structure that it's going to hold. And so that foundation has to hold. If you're in a tower of 80 stories tall, 1,776 feet tall, it has to withstand the wind and the sway in order for it to maintain integrity and not collapse. We've seen horrific video of the hurricanes Helene and Milton, and how it's just destroyed different foundations and just ripped things apart. because of that strength. The weight of the world hits us like a hurricane. And there are things in our life and things that we have to endure and the things that we have to go through that when we have a shallow foundation, when we have a shallow belief system and we don't understand the truth the way that we need to, we are swayed to jump from one wagon to the next, from one belief to the next. And so in our points this morning, Jesus gave us the blueprints for us to live sacrificially and lay down our lives for the glory of God. He gives us the blueprints. Those blueprints is the why. He's given us the formula. He's given us the truth. From Genesis to Revelation, there is no misconceptions. There is no hidden agenda, nothing that we can't handle. As Joe Friday would say back in the late 1960s in the TV show Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, there is nothing that was hidden. God's given us everything that we need. There is a blueprint that He's given for us, for you to be successful. He's given it to you so you can understand. The Bible goes into a circular place, which means it goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation and right back to Genesis. There's nothing held back. There's nothing that you can't see. The Bible's hard to understand at times. There's different applications that we may not always get, but the answer is in the Word. And sometimes we have to be diligent, and sometimes we have to study, and sometimes we have to poke, and sometimes we have to ask. But the Word gives us all the answers that we need. It's a fixed fact that there are absolutely no square circles. There are absolutely no round squares. Water is wet and not dry. The Denver Broncos is the best franchise in sports history. And French fries are the best invention of all time. If you argue with that, you can't handle the truth. But on the flip side, has your faith been tested with an incredible uphill battle? Have you questioned what your next step is personally, as well as here at Central? Have you entered into a dark place and you see no way out? Or are you wrestling with God and what He has for you in store, and He's been challenging you and showing you, but you have not yet made that decision? You see, you may have answered yes to any of those, but can I encourage you today that Jesus Christ is the rock that we can stand on, and hell's defenses will not thwart the church's progress in what God has ordained to do. You see, in life, there will be a daily choice to hear the voice of truth or the lies of the enemy. Because the truth that there is a Savior, but there's also an enemy. We can choose Jesus, and although it requires change from the inside out, God is building a foundation that you can stand on to see Him and the freedom that you really need. If you're a guest with us today, our number one objective is the fact that we want everyone to be able to connect with Jesus through a personal relationship with our King and our Lord, and His name is Jesus. The second half of that mission is for us to connect personally, to connect that personal relationship that we have in Christ with each other, to be able to be a mentor, to be able to be someone to fill in the gap, to be able to be someone that's an encourager, to be able to be someone that will pray for those that are there, to be able to stand and help and encourage and be there in any way that we can. That is our role, not just to connect with Jesus and each other from just a general, you know, statement, but we want your personal relationship that you have with Jesus to be able to connect with other believers that will then transform and go into those that do not know Jesus because of the way that we handle ourselves. That is the blueprint that God gives us as Christians to be able to go into all the world and make disciples, is to build one upon the other. It is that truth of unconditional love and forgiveness that Jesus surrendered everything so that we can have life. The second point this morning is God's truth is not a suggestion, but rather it's a why He created to protect us. He created the truth to protect us and protect those that He loved. In 1 John 3:16, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." See, when the gospel demands that we live sacrificially and lay down our lives for one another, it can become unpopular. You see, God's truth is not just something that we have to go through. It's not just a suggestion if you want to do these things when you read the Bible, when you're watching something. If the truth of God's word is speaking, it's not a suggestion, but it's fact. His truth is His design. It is His blueprint that He created to protect those that He loves. God's intention as a Christian, God's intention for you is not that you hurt, not that you don't have the resources that you need, not that you are struggling in areas. That's not God's desire. That's not what He wants. But He understands that the things that we go through in life, those struggles, is because of the fall, man. But God's blueprint in His Word, if you would open that, look it up on the app, that Word of God is designed to protect you. That when all of the world's foundation in your life is being swayed and tore apart, that you could open up God's Word and find a resource that is true and honest and fair. When we continue to grow in our walk with God, which is sanctification, you see, there is a place that God gives us, not just to write down your name on a card and say, you know, I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and now I have to read these three chapters or whatever. But God wants you to be able to adapt through His Word to be able to be a difference maker in people's lives. God wants you to change. God wants you to grow. Of course, we know the scripture verse. It says that as early believers that you're just babies in Christ and it's just spiritual milk. You know, and it's just the small things, and you don't really have to do much. You know, you're just there. But at the same time, what's ironic, when you first accept Jesus Christ and life change begins to take place, what's usually the first thing? You are running around telling people about Jesus. I mean, I remember when I accepted Jesus and I was in junior high, and we went to camp and we came back, and I remember handing out tracts. This is back when you do tracts and all that kind of stuff. But I remember walking down the street of my hometown and just telling people about Jesus. It's new and it's fresh. But yet the Bible says that we are new and we are a new creation, but yet we crave spiritual milk, which is simple. And yet we're energetic. But then we get grounded into God's Word, and then we become holy. And we can't do nothing. And we sit still. And we lose that energy. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but God, He desires for us to change, to be sanctified, to be set apart. And that allows our foundation to endure more of the things that we begin to face. You see, it's not just about knowing that you're going to go to heaven, which is an incredible opportunity that you know you can go to heaven. But accepting Jesus is being able to take steps of faith, to be able to do more than what you did yesterday, to express yourself and how much God loves somebody or whatever it may be. And then you get the battering of false truths and lies and people making fun of you and all these things. And how do you handle that? You handle that through God's Word. And He gives you the strength to endure. Or when you lose someone that's special, or you go through a difficult time, how do you handle that? You do it because God's Word is there and you got a strong foundation. You're able to endure the weight, the things that are going on. But when we choose to walk outside the promises of God, when we choose to walk away from the truth of God, we loosen the footings and allow the traps of the enemy to begin to have access. The enemy continues to attack God's truth by whispering and lying in order to put a wedge between God's Word and the culture that we live in. We see this attack happening from the inside out in many churches who have completely abandoned judgment of sin, walked away from the truth of God's Word, and embraced the just makes sense. This just makes sense for them. So they've walked away from that truth. Because you see, sin is never satisfied. We see in Matthew chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, but while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. You see, the devil doesn't just do things and say, hey, here I am, I'm going to come attack you. I'm going to take all your money away. I'm going to take this away. I'm going to whatever it may be. He doesn't do that. He plants seeds. He puts things in your way while you're unaware. While you're unaware, while you're sleeping and you're unaware. What does that look like? We have to fight for the freedom that Jesus has given us to protect our families. You see, I've learned this. I've felt like I did everything that I could for my kids. Brought them to church, camp, conventions, mission trips. And yet, there are things that happen when they're adults that the enemy has came in and stole some things from their life. So you need to evaluate where are you at? What are you telling your kids? What are you allowing your kids to be a part of? I understand that we can listen to whatever kinds of music that you want to listen to and all of those types of things. But do we understand that what you put in is what you're going to get out? And if your kid is listening to a song that has 57 F-bombs in it, and then you wonder why they're saying or doing what they're doing, you're allowing that in their life. We have to be the gatekeeper in our kids' life. We have to fight for the freedom, because the enemy has thrown things in people's lives. Sin creates a mindset that there's never enough. It creates a mindset that allows you just to go and do and want. And if we're not sure of what we got, we can begin to be distracted. Sin desires to grow wherever we let it. Sin will fit and wait until you allow something to grow, and then it'll start to blossom. It is critical to have a strong foundation that is based on 100% truth. 100% truth. But then we have to be able to have 100% grace. And because we have those two ingredients, it brings in compassion. Compassion has to be a huge part in what we do and in our walk with God, as we're being compelled to live in a society that's anti-God or anti-belief or whatever it may be. We have to be willing to stand up for truth, as Pastor Ryan has shared. But then we have to have 100% grace. But then we have to take those two things and we have to tie them into compassion. Because compassion can't be allowed to spill over to compromise of our belief and compromise the promises that God has for our life. We have to have all three. But we cannot allow the enemy and the false lies to come in to distract where we're going. And the enemy uses our language to try to get us to stumble in those lies. We see here, the lie that the enemy uses is that you'll be defeated. That there is absolutely nothing that you can do. But you see, the truth in 1 John 4:4 says, "The little children, you are my God, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You see, the lie that the enemy uses says your prayers will go unanswered, that you have no choice. That's just the way it is. But the truth that God gives us in Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that are yet unknown." The enemy is going to tell you a lie that says you do not have the ability, you do not have the physical strength, you do not have the intelligence to accomplish anything for the Lord. But God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the truth that says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." The enemy wants to tell you that what you're asking for is too big. But God's telling us in Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" See, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." When we compromise that truth and listen to those lies, we're allowing the gate to be open for the enemy to come. We have to begin to be willing to stand for the truth, but still love those that are around us, still care for those that are around us, still show grace to those that are around us. But we can't compromise on the truth. Be careful of what we let in that could loosen the footings of our foundation. Be careful of the things that we allow in just because we want to be popular. Be careful of the things that we allow in just so that we can get certain things of this world. Jesus is telling us, as we begin to understand that truth, is the truth will set us free. But when we compromise, our footings are loose. The second point that we have, it talks about relentless pursuit of Jesus and his truth. Being relentless, I have a picture up here, just a rock climber, but you know, it's incredible when you're pursuing something. If as a rock climber, you go and you climb. I've climbed the tallest mountain in Maine, which was like just a little hill. But it was incredible. It was a good hour hike, and it was one of those, you know, pursuits that we wanted to accomplish. And we all have pursuits, and they're all things that we desire to do and we want to be a part of. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." When we look at treasures on earth, they're fleeting. It says that material possessions are going to be destroyed. So everything that we're yearning for, right? The enemy says that you know, hey, here's a seed, go out and gain everything that you want. We're not saying that you can't have boats and you can't have, you know, all the things and the lifestyle that's there. But it says that those things are going to be destroyed. Then it goes on and says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Heaven treasures are eternal. Those eternal treasures are the things that we live, or the why we live the righteous life that we do. Serving God and building up lasting treasures in heaven because of what we do here. It's not the good works that we're looking for, but it's doing the things that God's called us to do. And then it goes on and says, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." And this is just talking about focusing on your heart. Where you put your focus and energy, that is where your true priorities are. And I think we can probably all have been there at one time or another. When you begin to focus on your criteria rather than God, we begin to alienate other aspects of our life. I know, being married 33 years, that when I begin to choose my schedule, my activities, and my life that's over here on this side, and my wife Cheryl is over there, and if I don't connect with her at any point of relational pieces, the walls begin to get put up. And I have to be careful of that. And so when we talk about our priorities and the focus and our energy, we have to be able to have that same entity with God. When we alienate God and say, "God, I don't have time. I got this to do. I got flag football. I got horse riding. I got whatever. I got all these things to do. I don't got time for you, God, but I might have time for you next week." Our foundation is shallow, and we're not receiving everything that God wants to give to us. Do you understand that God wants to pour his freshness and his love and his direction into your life? He wants to give you everything in his word to you. He wants to feed your soul. But where is our focus and where is our energy? Man, God, I've given you everything. I have served 14 months in a row. I have done everything that I can, God, for you, and I just feel weary. In those moments, what I can tell you is that God is blessing you, and the enemy is lying. Do I believe that we need refreshing? 100%. 100%. But don't sacrifice what God's doing in you just because the flesh is weak. Don't sacrifice what God's doing inside of you and what he's doing through you just because you're tired. Allow him to continue to minister and take those moments when you need it. Be refreshed, get refreshed, take that time off, whatever, but then come back and be ready to serve, because we have to be able to be bold enough to seek an adventure that we can move and have a whole new identity. Be bold enough to seek an adventure that can move you to a whole new identity. And there's a lot of things that we can interpret that statement. Devote your time to studying the Bible. Focus on your understanding more. Seek a closer relationship with God. Be prayerful. Be intent. Be intentional. Surround yourself with other believers. Support your spiritual growth and journey. Putting your faith into action by serving. Be open to facing difficult situations that can refine your character, and so on. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, points out this: one man gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so when we look at these things, our goal is not just to have personal growth. And you can put this in your side notes and your markers and all that. The goal is not just to have personal growth, but to make a fundamental shift and how you see yourself and recognizing the true identity that God's called you to do. So it's not just about personal growth, but it's about making a fundamental shift and saying, "God, how can you use me?" God, how can you use me? There is nothing greater. Can I tell you this morning, there is nothing greater. Why I always say you can be on the prayer team, you're welcome to be on the prayer team. Why? Because there's nothing greater than to pray for someone that has a need. There's nothing greater than to take that step of faith. Oh, I'm not qualified to do that. You don't have to be qualified. God's going to do it for you. You just have to be willing. There is nothing greater. There is nothing greater on this adventure in life than to be able to lead someone to the Lord and lead them in Jesus' name that they may know Jesus. To pray with them and talk with them and mentor them and help them. There is nothing greater. There is nothing. There isn't a hangover in life. I've never drank in my life. But I can tell you that there's not a thing that you can do that's greater than leading someone to the Lord. Why? Because there is an adventure in knowing that someone just received Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate water baptisms. That's the second aspect. But the first aspect is when they actually fall on their knees and tears are running down their eyes and their cheeks because they now know that they have a place in heaven. There is nothing greater. To have a fundamental shift in our lives and saying, God, where is it? God, where what is my next step? God, show me where it is. I want to know more of you. And it's not just, oh, you're just, you know, supernatural and, you know, you want all. No. I mean, God's calling us. The world is telling us that we don't need any of the things from God, that you can just be your own self. Do your own truth. Make it up as you go. But yet God's word tells us, how do we help kids? Do we let them just go and listen and do whatever they want to do? No, we give them guidelines and instruction. We give them encouragement. We give them guidelines to be successful. God wants us to be able to have a new adventure in our walk with God. It's one of the greatest experiences that we can have, which is kind of ironic because I shared the experience about accepting Jesus and sharing tracts and all of that. But when we're new in Jesus, the Bible says that we're young and we crave spiritual milk, right? But then when we get older, you know, like I said, then we're not as energetic sometimes. Why can't we be energetic at 50, at 40? You know, and I'm not saying that we're not, but it's just the expression of doing that. And so we have 5 points of connection. 5 points of connection. Number one is attend regularly. When you're having a great adventure, what is attending regularly really have to do with anything? Well, we say all the time that you should attend at least 2 or 3 services a month. And why do we say that? Because there's an aspect of connecting relationally that you can't get when you're away. There's things that you miss that God has ordained, I believe, for you to be in this church. Now you can discredit today. Okay, today can be your checkbox and say, yeah, Pastor Gary, I didn't get nothing out of that one. But when Pastor Ryan comes back and you say 2 or 3 times a month, why? Because God has ordained something for you to sit in that seat. And when you miss that, it's not about not listening to us. It's about listening to Him. So connecting regularly, it allows you to get what you need to get from Him. It might be the fact that you're connecting with somebody else. And another point that we have is connecting relationally. When you're able to connect relationally, it's not just about coming and connecting. I love hanging out with Pat. It's a treasure. It is. But I'm more concerned or more happy, more challenged when I can pray with him and we know that God's working in our lives. And it doesn't have to be all spiritual, right? I mean he's a Bronco fan. I mean, what more can you have? Maybe not. But my point is connecting relationship does more than just showing up and being here. It's that you're defining each other's relationship so that when something happens, you're not like, well, I'm going to go call my drinking buddy and he's going to tell me, you know, oh, just suck it up, you'll make it. I want someone that I can call up and say, dude, will you pray for me? Will you be there for me? I mean, those are the things that I think that God's calling us to be to connect. Anyway, another one is serve purposefully. Why do we want to serve purposefully? What is the truth? The truth in the world is saying, you got all these other things that you have to do. You have all these other things that you have to take care of. You don't have time to serve. You don't have time to help out at the trunk or tree. You don't have time for all these things. Dude, then get the AI thing going, man. You'll make millions, right? But God wants you to serve. Why? Because there's purpose inside of you that you have to give to somebody else. And that purpose that God has created you for can be a blessing to somebody else. Invite boldly. Why do we do that? Invite boldly. Well, we invite boldly because your story, your testimony, what God's doing within your life is developing for somebody else to be able to hear. And because of your influence that you have in someone else's life, they may be open to be able to know who Jesus Christ is just because you asked. And you said, hey, would you like to come to church with me? And those are the opportunities that we have. Attend regularly, serve purposely, invite boldly, connect relationally, and the last one is give generously. Why is giving generously so important? I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of times when we talk about giving generously, and I'm not afraid to talk about money because it's scriptural. Pastor, he's the lead pastor, and he's more, you know, he deals with you guys a lot more. But the reason why that money is such an issue is because our wallet is so restrictive. Our wallet goes for everything in the world. Our wallet is dining, recreational, bills, life, insurance, taxes, interest rates. And so every day that we go out and spend, our wallet becomes more restrictive. And it's not that we don't want to tithe, and it's not that we don't care about helping the church and following that godly principle, but the reason is that maybe our biblical financial reasons behind what we're spending money on hasn't been shaped yet. And God says, hey, will you be open to looking at your wallet and seeing what you can pull out to give the church on the Sunday? And that's what God's intended for you to do, to grow, not to restrict, not to provoke, not for you to be angry, but for you to evaluate and say, God, I know my wallet's been really restrictive. I know I haven't been paying my tithes. And God's going to say, I know, because I know where you're coming from. I know what you've been spending your money on. I know what you've been sacrificing to spend that over here. All I'm asking is for you to start evaluating where you can give to me. And that's not a church thing, people. That's God wanting you to be healthy and God wanting you to evaluate how you can better walk with him. And so he's sharing that in his word, the truth, so that you can be successful, so you can see the blueprint, so that you can then be able to be a mentor to somebody else. Because when it becomes where we check on how much you give, or you're more concerned about your giving than something else, then you have to evaluate. Because it's not just about signing a check and giving money. It's about heart. And so God is good, but I believe the enemy wants us to be, he wants us to listen to that lie that there's other things more important. And like I've shared before, you know, when my daughter was 4 and she was a diabetic and we didn't have money to pay the medicine for the insulin and stuff, that was a tough decision. Medicine or tithe? How do you rationalize those types of things? And I get it, okay? And I'm not saying we're not perfect in that, but I'm just saying we all have scenarios, we all have stories. God wants us to give generously. The third truth that we have, that's there are sins and wages. Sin and wages. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. It is out of love that God points out his sin. It's out of love that God points, just as he points out where you are and what you're doing for you to be successful in that blueprint, he also, out of love, shows you where you're sinning. Whether that would be through someone that's your friend, your accountability partner, your mentor, your encourager, whatever it may be, your spouse. But God does that not because he wants you to feel like, you know, oh my, he's checking on me, but he wants you to be able to know so that you can be successful. Even as a parent, we have that situation where we see something, we want to correct it for their good, right? I mean, as a parent, raise your hand, right? I mean, we don't want our kids just going off and doing their own thing. Sometimes we have to give them instruction, right? I've shared this story before, but when I was 5 or 6 years old and I said a curse word and my mom made me stand in the corner and I had to say that curse word 50 times. And I got to about 5 and I said, no, Mom, I don't want to do it anymore. And my mom will be here at the 11 o'clock service if you want to ask her. But she made me say that word 50 times in a corner back in the early 70s. And I didn't want to do it. But she knew that there was something that I said that she wanted to drive home, that that's not what you do. And I can attest to the fact again that I have no idea. It's the grace of God, but I don't swear. I may abbreviate once in a while, but I don't curse out of my mouth, and I'm so thankful for that. And maybe it was because I said it for 50 times in the corner. But my point here is that God's intention is not to shame or condemn, but to guide us towards repentance and transformation. God wants us to be transformed into his likeness. Proverbs 27:6 states, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend," implying that constructive criticism from someone who cares can be beneficial. Sometimes it's beneficial for us to be called out. And that's where the truth and the grace comes into play. Grace and forgiveness. While God points out sin, his love is also expressed through the provisions and forgiveness and the redemption of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you sinned. Yep, you sinned over there. I saw it. But because of Jesus and because of what he did on the cross, we can be forgiven. And those things cannot and will not and should not be held against us. The reality of God's destiny for us, cannot change simply because we don't accept it. There are a lot of people around this world and around our society that are telling us that we can't do certain things, that it's no longer, the Bible isn't relevant, the Bible doesn't mean that anymore, that we're living in the 21st century, blah, 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 right? The reality of God's destiny, that one day he will return. One day the trumpet will sound and he will return, and those that know him will rise up and meet him in the sky. The reality of that and the reality of his truth and the reality of what we've been talking about of God's destiny cannot change simply because we don't accept that those things are real. The truth of God's word is there. For our struggle is not against human opponents, against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and darkness around us, and evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm in Ephesians 6:12. Every verse that teaches us about holiness is teaching us self-restraint. Every verse that teaches us about relationships with our Father promotes spiritual and self-discipline and restraint. And so I got a picture up here of a chessboard. And this chessboard is good and evil. And it's like the chess game where we're moving pieces around. And my question for you today is, what battlefield are you on? What struggle are you facing? Are you struggling in the on the board where you get distracted all the time, you just can't focus, and the enemy's just continually throwing things at you, and he's moving you pieces over here, and he throws this distraction in front of you over here? Are you on the ungodly mindset where there's just thoughts running through your mind and just constantly the new TV show, the graphic of this over here, the internet over here, but you have an ungodly mindset? Is it just your sinful nature, where just generally sinful nature, where you're just, you know, doing this, saying that, you know, drinking this, whatever it may be? You just have this sinful nature, and we're all sinful people, right? And we're all at different levels, and we're all different places. But where are you on that board? And then the side of it where God's working, and God's, do you recognize when God puts somebody in your place, when God's, you know, when you're struggling and you're hurting and God moves somebody there, do you recognize that? Do you give God the glory for that? Or are you promoting that and saying, God, thank you? But where are you on the board? Because it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline." That no matter what we face, no matter what lies are thrown at you, and no matter what someone is getting at you to get underneath your skin, God is telling us that we can have self-discipline, we can have the love, and we can have the strength to endure. Which leads us to the fourth point, is the reward. Matthew 6:1 says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So I got a picture up there that just says, "I have a plan for you. Do you trust me? I have a plan for you. Do you trust me?" And I think that's, you know, as we wrap up this morning and just thinking about God has a plan for each one of us, but are we willing to trust him and what he has for us? See, the gospel demands that we set our sights on a heavenly reward, not earthly praise. Christians are called to prioritize their focus on eternal rewards in heaven rather than the recognition here on earth. And so what we're trying to help us to understand is that there's a lot of things that God's called us to do, and there's a lot of things that we need to be able to stay truthful and push forward. But there's those moments where we want the best trunk or treat trunk, and we want everybody to see it, and we want everybody to know it, and then that's when it starts getting where we start getting prideful. It's not about not having the best, because we want you to have the best. We want you to strive for the best. We want you to have the best car. We want you to have the best life. We want you to push forward. But at the same time, we want you to glorify God as you go through that. We want you to be the best server on the Connect team. We want you to be the best person behind the scenes. But it's when we start getting prideful. See, it's so easy or convenient to focus on doing good works that we forget to live on mission. That we forget to live on mission. Live for the mission that God has given us to move whatever we need to do for God to get the glory. And so we sometimes want to do what is right because we want to be seen doing right. What God is saying here is that I want to change your heart so that you are actually changing your behavior for the right reasons. And we have to make sure that we don't get out of this order. We want to be able to have a heart transformation that it comes before a behavior modification. And that's what we say all the time. We want you to come as you are. Come as you are to Central. Come as you are and allow God to work in your life. Allow God to begin to see and show you where you are and where the truths that he has for you, and begin to have that heart transformation. And as you have that heart transformation, pretty soon your behavior modifications will start kicking in. It's not something that's always going to be natural and just boom, it's just like that. But God wants you to continue to work on your heart, then changes your behavior. And so there's some rewards that we get as we close up here today for following Christ. Number one is you get a share in Christ's glory, which is, again, probably one of the most important things, that we get an inheritance in heaven. Number two is we get to have a deeper relationship with God. That's a reward for following Jesus. We get to have material blessings. God's rewards those who our intentions are pure, his rewards are true. We get to have influence. Rewards can have influence. God wants you to have influence with other people. I say it all the time. There's five people in your life right now. Take a piece of paper out, write their name, right? You have five people of influence. Those five people are the people that you can influence. If they know who Jesus Christ is, then your job then is to be a mentor to them. When they get to the place of being a mentor or a place of discipleship where they can grow, they become someone else's mentor. They begin to lead someone else to Jesus. Why? Because it's multiplication. It's not just one plus one. God wants us to grow. So we have influence. That's what makes us exciting. It's also what makes it scary. But we get to have influence. Number two, or the last one, number five, is eternal life. Rewards can include that eternal life, like we said. So there's awesome things that we have there. And so no one, you might say, who believes in Jesus comes to the Father except through Jesus. We don't have to turn anywhere else. We just have to turn to him. We turn to Jesus when we're doubtful. When we feel lost, we follow him. When we don't know who to believe, we trust him. When we are struggling to find purpose in this life, we find him. And so I wish I could say that this morning that I've never been plagued by doubt or fear. I wish I could tell you that I no longer struggle to believe that God is always there, and that I sometimes wonder. The difference is, though, for all of us, is how quickly do we go to his word? How quickly do we go to each other? How quickly do we find that resolve to be able to get where we need to go for God? I believe that when we surrender to God's plan for our life, what seems to be unpopular becomes a new journey of hope, a new journey of confidence, and a new journey of growth, that God wants you to be able to be blessed and encouraged. He is our way, he is our truth, and he is our life. And with him and through him, we can do all things in his name. And I'm encouraged and I'm excited as we sing this song, as Mike comes and sings. I'm encouraged because I know that God has a plan for each one of you. And you may be listening to the lies right now where there's all kinds of things going on. But can I tell you, if you would spend 3 minutes and say, God, search my heart. Search my heart. Where is it that I need to go? Where is it to go to find you? If that's a deeper relationship, if that's mentoring somebody, if that's discipleship, if that's falling on your knees yourself and saying, God, I'm a lowly sinner. and I've fallen short. Whatever it is, for the next 3 minutes as Mike sings this song, say, God, search me. Search me. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be in the back. Whether you do something quietly or you do something out loud, it's a step of faith. If you utter those words in your mouth, or if you utter those words in your head, God, use me, show me, forgive me, whatever it is, it's by that step of faith that God honors. So don't allow your mind to run rabid of all the things that you have to do in this beautiful cold Sunday, but give him 3 minutes as we sing this song and say, God, help me to focus on you. Heavenly Father, I give you glory, I give you praise, I give you honor. The words that I could say, Lord, it does not reflect, Lord, what you can do right now. So, Lord, I give you this time as Mike sings for you to do something that only you can. We thank you and we worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name.